Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good morning to you. Welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha. Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios today, located right here in beautiful Mobile, Alabama. Mark Lasseter, how you doing, pal?
Man, if I was any better, I don't know what I'd do.
You'd be Randy Bergen if he's any better.
I'd get a few birdies every now and then.
There you go. Well, Randy is, again, and good for him. Good for him that he's getting to do the things he's getting to do right now because, boy, he's had a tough time with some health things that really worried us. And Boom's Kitchen is booming right now, so we're just excited for him. And he'll be back in here one day soon.
We can get that professional voice back.
That's right. We can. We can get the radio voice instead of the two boondogs in there. You know, Mark, we're in the springtime, and I think a lot of people have misconceptions about spring football. And we're going to talk about baseball and golf and all that stuff a little later on. But I want to talk a little bit about spring football in this first couple of segments because – and I'm going to yield to you because you're much more involved in it now than I have been in the last 10 years. I'm seeing different things going on in spring football. You look at the collegiate level. They're playing touch football. They're having all kind of things going on over at Ole Miss. Lane just had a fun day. High school football transitioning that way, or what are we doing with spring football?
I think there's a lot of thought about spring football. I can remember when I first got started in this business. I mean, it was set. It was in February. As soon as the state wrestling tournament ended that Sunday, we went and met, and then we planned out the whole spring. Then you had 3 weeks of it, 15 days, and you already had the equipment given out, and it was full bore. Yeah. There was no. I like that. I like the fact that you're going to go to football practice. Let's go to football practice.
Yeah.
But if you got to go out there and not do this and not do that, you can only do this. Then spring to me is not much. It's not worthwhile to me. Because now you usually can't do it until the end of school.
Yeah.
Toward the end of school, like in May.
Yeah.
And so many of the kids, like small schools. Most of those kids are involved in some other sport. You're not going to get many of them. Larger schools have more numbers, and you're able to still get something out of it. You know, I've stopped by a couple of schools this spring, and, boy, they were having a good spring practice, you know, and good for them. When you're able to get numbers out there and get something out of it, I think it's a good deal. But the way it's headed for smaller schools is that so many of those kids play other sports,
right.
It's hard to get them all together. It's hard to get especially your coaches together because they're all coaching another sport no matter what that sport is. It doesn't make any difference what that sport is, whether it's golf or tennis or track and field, soccer, baseball, whatever it is you're coaching, those kids that you're coaching at that time deserve your undivided attention.
Yeah.
And that's it. And so you take that through, it's just kind of hard to break away. Plus, now you get more summertime that you can do more in the summer than you've ever been able to do. You get an extra week if you don't do spring.
Yeah.
You get a week in the fall where you can get started. So there's some things about it that I do like, you know, and I'm not as big a proponent of spring football as I used to be. And I've seen the benefits of both. And there's a part of me, you know, I don't know, Rick, sometimes I see what colleges are doing. I go, looks like it's just they're trying to make things fun.
Right.
Maybe because, as we have said on this show before, the sport that we have known for all these years is changing.
Yeah.
And it's changing rapidly. I don't know if we're even going to recognize it 10 years from now. I don't know.
I can remember right when tennis season was full bore, and a guy that we both love, Don Jennings, and I said, I gotta get Don going here. So I said, Coach, you know, I think they're about to do away with spring training. Boy, he turned five shades of red, and he said, well, I tell you what, when they do away with spring training, they're doing away with Don Jennings. You got to have spring training. Of course, Don's a defensive guy, and, you know, they find a lot of players, and he did. He found a lot of people who would do what he wanted them to do schematically, physically, and I don't know if one day we won't go to not having any spring training. I really think we'll always have some version of spring training.
Right.
But what is the real purpose of spring training?
Well, for me, the reason I liked it was, especially as a head coach, I could find out, especially – I really didn't worry so much about my old guys who've been there.
Yeah.
Kind of already knew what they could do, but it was those young guys, those new ones, and especially middle school. I'd like to have, you know, just a few days for middle school to find out what they were going to – who was coming along and kind of teach them a little bit about our system. But those young kids, those 9th and 10th and 11th graders who we haven't seen, how much have they grown? How much have they progressed? Are they better now than they were last year? And the new guys coming up, where do they step in? Are they going to shy away from contact? That's the number one thing. I want to know who's going to stand in there in the fire and be ready to face it and go at it, not run away from it. You got to find those guys. You can't play football at a high level without being able to face the fire. And, I mean, you're going to have to get in there, and you can't be afraid to hit somebody or get hit. And so that's all a part of what I loved about spring training. You can't find that out in the summertime. You can't.
Know, one of the things that I always didn't understand is we do Oklahoma drills. Now, Oklahoma drills is where you got three offensive linemen and three defensive linemen, and then you put two linebackers back here behind those three defensive linemen. That ain't fair. That just ain't fair. How is it that Oklahoma was fair to put those two linebackers back there?
Well, that's not fair unless you got a blocking back.
Well,
we always just ran it with three down linemen and one linebacker and a running back. So you had one linebacker that's unblocked, and the three linemen had somebody to block. Everybody
right.
was matched up.
Absolutely.
And the back's job is to make that linebacker miss. That's his job. Or run over him. One of the two. There wasn't anybody going to block him. But we only had one. Now, if you have two,
that's
running
unfair.
Backs in yeah. serious trouble.
Well, you got to have a running back. You got to have a fullback in there when you
yeah.
do that. So, but as an O-line guy, I just thought, man, they're kicking our butt every time. I mean, we can't gain the length of a one-foot ruler. So, but that's what spring training was to us back in the old
yes.
days, is physical,
yes.
physical, physical.
That's right.
Find out who will block, find out who will tackle. Now, rule-wise, I think one day you can go out in pads and the next day you can't. And
yeah, I'm not sure. I think that we haven't had spring training in a couple of years, so I don't really even know what the
– I know Terry and them are out there today. And it's and we're recording this show, by the way, folks. We should tell you that on Thursday before Saturday. And I guess in real radio, Steve, you're the professional here. You really shouldn't tell people you're recording, I guess. It's probably not a good idea.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we just broke the professional standards of not telling, but we told. But we want to talk more about this. I really want to get more into some spring training stuff because people don't understand. They really don't. And when you have to – got to wait till baseball's over. And a lot of schools are smaller than, say, 6A.
Yeah.
6A and 7A, they'll have enough players. But 5A even, yeah, if you know, most of your baseball players are football players too. And so those schools that, you know, hopefully they share athletes, but if you don't, it's hard to have spring training.
That's right.
It really
it is.
And I want to talk about the things we can do in the summer now, which will eliminate some of the problems of maybe not having spring training. Because there's a lot of coaches who said, no, we can do everything we want to do in spring training in the summer, so we're just going to be great teammates and let those spring sports
yeah.
do what they do. Hey, you listen to the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report. We're coming to you from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Mark Lassiter, Steve Stanley, and it's me. We'll be back with more right here on PSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name is Mark. I'm not gonna go there. I'm absolutely not gonna go there. This is
your big debut. Your big debut.
Stevie Dan talking about seeing the picture. You just don't think about going to the post office and seeing somebody. It's one of your coaches, but
oh my God. There he is.
There's a story to that. I don't know who did it, but talking about our buddy John Blackman in Sylacauga. Hello, Sylacauga. Thank you for listening. I guess we were in about the ninth or tenth grade. My daddy walked he walked into the post office. He got his mail in the post office box from his business mail, and somebody drawn a picture of John and put it on that most wanted list. I swear, Buttercup, he took that picture down so fast, he thought I did it. I swear. I would never do that to my buddy, but that's a pretty good trick.
That is a good one, though.
We're talking about spring training because if you go around the state of Alabama today, you're going to see a lot of high schools out there practicing football. And I know there's a lot of people who think maybe that we've done away with spring training, but we hadn't. Maybe we've watered it down a little bit. But, Mark, what is a decision maker for coaches today to determine whether or not we're going to have spring or we're not going to have spring?
Probably a lot of it has to do with how much they're going to be able to get done. How much can we get done with who I've got coaching-wise and player-wise in the time we have allotted for it?
All right, and this is where I want to go with that, coaching-wise. Now, Steve used to switch up coaching. You know, you'd swap assignments. You'd do – if you were an offensive line guy, you may be coaching secondary in the spring. Well, talk a little bit about that and the reason behind that because – you know, I know we had some coaches that said, well, if we're on the same side of the ball, it's okay. But, going, man, I think the best thing that I ever learned as a young coach was defense because you can't run an offense if you don't understand defense.
That's right.
So that's a great thing I think that Steve did with you guys at Benjamin Russell, with us at Daphne. Of course, he never did it because he was never an assistant coach. Isn't that,
that's crazy.
Still, that is crazy. But been a mighty successful head coach, I tell you that.
Yeah. He did pretty well for himself.
So talk a little bit about that and the ramifications of that.
What Steve did with us was, I remember he moved, and I know why, he moved me to offensive line.
Yeah.
I coached running backs. Yeah. First I coached receivers, and then I coached running backs. And then in the springtime he would have me coach offensive line, which I love because, you know, to me, offensive line is the heart and soul of your offense.
No doubt.
And you've got to know how to coach it. You got to know what those guys do. And Coach, you know, Coach Sav's always watching and correcting. Like, we had a meeting after practice. He'd say, Mark, you didn't teach this right or whatever.
Yeah.
If I didn't go something, you know, something. And so I was able to learn how to coach offensive line, which made a huge impact on my career as being able to know, understand what offensive linemen were doing. And then sometimes I got to coach inside linebackers. And I got to do that, and I was like, man, this is great. Now I understand what the linebackers are doing. But not only did I have to know that, I had to know exactly what those defensive linemen were doing in front of me and why, so I'd know what gap to scrape on different things. So it was a huge thing, especially making young coaches better, because it took me out of my comfort zone and put me in a place which, first of all, that was his baby, was that offensive line.
No doubt.
And so, man, if you sniffed wrong,
you knew
pretty soon. So, but if you did a good job, you know, you got rewarded. You know, he'd come and say, man, that's the way I want it done. You're getting better.
Yeah.
Well, that made you feel good as a coach. You know, you're getting better. Your head coach recognizes that, especially as a young guy.
He really told you you're getting better? He really did that?
Yeah, he did.
Boy, you are in an elite group. I'm telling you.
And he also told me if I messed up.
That's right. What were his favorite sayings? You want me to do your job?
You want me to do your job for you? I can tell by your body language you don't like what I said to you. Yes, sir. You're right.
Young coaches. When you bring young coaches in, for example, you hire a young coach early in his career, it used to be that we stuck them out there with the receivers. Just said, you coach receivers. We ain't going to throw it, but maybe 5 or 6 times a game. But you teach them to stalk block. You teach them to run a dummy route. You teach them if they're playing man, you teach them to run that guy off when we're running your way. And then at some point in time, you got to get him on the ground one way or the other. Young coaches now, is it the best thing to do is to put them with receivers, or is it to get them in there somewhere where they better pay a lot of attention and get somewhere where they can learn a position other than a receiver coach?
Well, it depends on what you're doing on offense. You know, the passing game has changed since I got involved in coaching. You know, back then it was pro eye. You know, wasn't much wing tee back then.
Right.
It was pro eye and some leftover wishbone was still hanging around, but pro eye had become the thing.
There wasn't much veer when you first started.
There was some, like Mountain Brook was running it.
Yeah.
Gene Ellison was running split back veer. And a couple other teams where it wasn't a whole lot. We saw a few. I think
Prattville ran it.
Yeah. Yeah, we played against Prattville and they ran it. And so defensively back then, when you put your defense in it, Don Jennings will still tell you this today. First thing you do, you better have your option responsibilities.
Right.
And no matter what you line up in, you better know who's accounted for what.
Yeah. And dive, so, quarterback, pitch.
But as far as young, going back to the top, young coaches, I think, you know, sometimes that's where they need to go. You know, now they got two usually, slot receiver and wide receiver and a tight end coach and running back coach and a quarterback coach and two offensive line coaches. You know, that's the way things seem to be trending.
Right.
But so long as they are – every one of them needs to – to me, if I was doing it over again as a head coach, I would say, all right, when we get done here, you need to come back here and learn how to coach offensive line.
Yep.
If you ever aspire to be a head football coach,
yep,
you need to coach offensive line. Yep. And to do that, you got to do it somewhere along the line, you need to coach offensive line and understand it. Also – if you've only coached offense, one thing I'm really proud of right now that my son Landon's doing, he works it tirelessly. He coaches our slot receivers, with our varsity football team. He coaches all of them, not just slot. He coaches all receivers. But he also is working diligently in our secondary.
That's big.
And so with George Pratt, our defensive coordinator, spends a lot of time with him. They talk. They were on the board when I left today going over something about how they do this and how they do that, how we're going to teach tackling circuit, which I think is huge for a young coach who's been an offensive player all his life, coached in offense, went, you know, he's just been around. That's what he knows. Now he's learning defense, which is good.
You know, you just said a word there that I want to talk about in the next segment is tackling. Boy, has tackling changed? Is it? It's something now that's almost scientific, and in the fact that you can't do this, you can't do that, and I mean, you use the crown of that helmet, you're not going to be in a game very long.
No, you're not.
And so we want to talk about that with you because you've spent the last few years as a coordinator on the defensive side of the ball, and what y'all did with Phil there was remarkable because you really took less as far as talent was concerned, but you schemed people to the point where you put people in position to make those open field tackles. We'll talk about that when we return to TSR. You listen to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and we are coming to you from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. You get a chance, go by exit 38 going toward Pensacola. You'll be treated like family out there. Great people. We appreciate everything that they do for us here at PSR. We'll be right back, right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turn and face the stars and stripes. It's fighting back them butterflies. It's calling in the air.
It's kind of appropriate. Sir, we get a little bit of boys and fall. Kenny Chesney. We are talking a little bit of football today. You had a fender bender. Anybody, you had somebody just run into you in a parking lot, or somebody backed up into you, as I've been known to do, and your car is just dinged up, messed up, and you want to get it fixed. You got to call our, You want to call our friends at Premier Collision over at 1177 Sledge Drive. They're also located at 101 Schillinger Road, two locations here in Mobile. If you give them a call at 251-478-4500, you'll either get Chris or Kim or Tyler on the line, and I can promise you they will take great care of your vehicle, and you'll get it back in pristine condition. It's just a great group of people who love high school sports, do everything they can to promote high school sports. You won't find finer people in any business than Chris Garris and Kim, his wife, and Tyler, who kind of looks after the shop for them. And, boy, I tell you, they do a lot of great things for a lot of great causes. But the thing that they do as well as anybody I've ever been around is they put your automobile back in the best condition that you could ever imagine. And, Mark, there's nobody better than you to attest to that.
That's the truth, man. I'm so just wonderful people. And yep. Just the job that they did was wonderful and took care of us, communicated the whole time. And as my daddy says, and I'll keep repeating it, you're driving a brand-new car, son? I'm going, no, Dad, this is an old one. It just looks brand-new.
Bam.
And thanks to Chris and his group out there. Man, what a great bunch of folks.
Good people. So we're talking a little bit about tackling and how the evolution of tackling now has come kind of, you know, just full circle, because now we're shoulder tackling. We're not using our head as much. How do you guys on defense, how do you get around sticking your face right there on the numbers and locking up?
There's sometimes, I'll say this. I remember when I first learned about tackling.
Right.
The first thing we started when I was coaching it, not so much when I was playing, but when I was coaching it, a coach that I was with at junior high at Hewitt Trussville Junior High School, and Steve also said this later on when I moved to that staff, the phrase that these coaches both used was tackle with your eyes.
Yeah.
Now, that's a huge thing, because when you tackle with your eyes and your eyes are up, means the crown of your helmet is not down.
Not down, right.
And if the crown of your helmet is not down, then you're in good shape. You're not going to – shouldn't hurt yourself.
Right.
You know, you don't jeopardize your neck or anything of that nature. And also, you're not going to have those head-on collisions as – frequently. You still go, sometimes they're just going to happen.
Right.
There are times when a back runs through the hole and a defensive lineman moves over, or a linebacker scrapes, or a safety fills down, and before they know it, they have run into one another, and it's a collision, helmet to helmet, and there's nothing you can do about it. Running back is going to drop his shoulders and his helmet down to protect himself.
Yeah.
A linebacker is going to hit with, hopefully with his eyes up and his shoulder pads. Those small collisions in those small zones are not getting called. They shouldn't be called, I don't think. That's just part of the game of football. So long as your eyes are up and your face mask is up. Now, I will say this. It's human nature not to want to see that collision.
Yep.
That's human nature. Yeah. So what do you want to do? You want to turn your head, drop your head so you don't see it, because that's like running into a Brahma bull without a helmet, you're going to duck, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. But if you teach that and you really start teaching, and we have to get away from when I was growing up, my guys I loved to watch were Jack Tatum and Ronnie Lott.
Boy.
Man, I loved to watch those guys hit. But man, they took some shots on some defenseless people.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of them got hurt
badly.
Darren Stingley got hurt bad.
Yeah, that's right.
But today we've got to change the way we teach it. And you can. There's as good a tackling in rugby as you've ever want to see. And that's what one of the things they're trying to implement.
It's a great point.
Is rugby tackling. Yeah. If you watch rugby, them guys knocked each other around. But they don't have helmets on.
No.
They got little old bitty shoulder pads of some sort, I think, underneath that thing. But they hit each other in a way to get them to the ground, and it's rugged. That is a rugged sport.
Yeah.
But they do it in a way that they're still going to have some concussions, but they're not having the violent helmet, because when you have that helmet on, it takes a little bit of the fear away. You're not as afraid to do it, but you want to get your shoulder in there more. And there's more rolling to the tackle than there is in the NFL. There's more rolling to it.
You know, with targeting being such a big deal at the college and professional level, and we try to avoid it as much as possible in high school, often wonder and get this question all the time, well, why isn't that running back being penalized? Because he puts the crown of his helmet down in that guy's stomach. So why is that not targeting? Well, that's just – it's not. It's just not. I don't know why it's not, but you may have a reason for that.
Well, the only thing, when the running back has the ball
and
he's running, he's usually trying to avoid contact. Sometimes they're trying to send a message and they're going, I'm going to light this safety up.
Right.
I'm going to let him know.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I think if a referee can discern when he's trying to protect himself or if he's dropping that headgear to deliver a blow, I think there could be a call, but you're not going to see it because most of the time it's too hard to. I would think it's too difficult for the official to explain. I'm speaking ignorantly because I really don't know how they would, but I think it can be called on a running back. It can be called on him.
That's interesting because I've never seen
it. I've never seen it either. That doesn't mean it can't be, but I would think it could be on a running back.
Brings me to my next point. We're in trouble official-wise in football. We are really in trouble, not only in Alabama. It's nationwide. I noticed the other day North Carolina, the North Carolina High School Athletic Association had a big press conference talking about the treatment of officials from fans, from coaches, from players. What's the answer to that?
You know, Rick, that's a great question. I know that coaching-wise, and I have been – I mean, I'll be the first one to say it, and all the officials out there who know me know that at one time in my career I was one of the most vocal coaches on the sideline that and they came to see me and explained to them, you know, you need to calm down. And I think about it, why was that like that? Was it my own ego? That's part of it.
Right.
I can just tell you that's part of it. Second is they're trying to get an edge on every call so they can win. Because in our society today, winning is what keeps your job.
That's right.
And so if you're going to win, you're going to have to get every angle you can, especially when you may not be as talented. So you're trying to do that, you know. So, but is that really what we're supposed to be doing? You know, when I was the head coach at Fairhope at Alma Bryant, and I would really, you know, I was – fighting for every point we could get, every call we could get, and sometimes it goes too far.
Yeah.
Officials know they're gonna be questioned. They already know that. It's the way that it's done, and that's what I think has got to come under more scrutiny is how it's done. How do I talk? Phil Lazenby was the best I've ever seen on a sideline on Friday night.
Yeah,
I mean he would get on to me.
Yeah.
And our other coaches about yelling at an official, you know, because it's not the way. When you start yelling, you're not getting anything done.
Right.
Nothing's happening.
No.
Nothing's going to happen for you. You're just making a fool of yourself.
Yeah.
Phil would always have – he had a way of doing it that was professional, that was not detrimental to the official himself.
Right.
It was not something that caused his – players and his fans to get upset with the official. He had a way to do it that was probably about as good as I've ever seen. And more of us have to take on that type of demeanor. But I'm telling you, Rick, it's in our society. It is so bad throughout Little League ballparks.
Right.
Everywhere you go. I wouldn't referee a game today. I wouldn't umpire a Little League baseball game the way some people talk to officials today.
You know, that's a great idea, too. And somebody threw it out there. And I, you know, and if, again, there's two of us here are ashamed of the way we acted toward officials when we were younger. And I mean that. And so I want that to be real clear. It's not just you. I mean, it's there's a lot of us in that boat really ashamed of it. And, you know, as we go forward, I think if you're a parent and you're out there yelling at that umpire, next time that baseball team plays, you ought to be made the umpire. I'm serious. You know, let some of these parents get out there and umpire these games. And, of course, they all want their children to win. They want them to do well. But, you know, officials have a job to do. I can remember walking out of Alex Box Stadium in Baton Rouge, and beer bottles being thrown at us, and people were so close they'd spit at you. Boy, and I was too young and crazy then, so that's not good.
No.
That's just not good. But, it's perpetuated itself to the point now where we don't get young officials, and we've got to encourage these kids that play football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever, give back to your sport by finding some way to officiate these games.
I agree. And we got to get it because we're going to lose our sports.
That's right.
Because they're just every year it's the number is higher.
Yeah.
Especially in the state of Alabama that I know, not that we're any more or less than anybody else, but I know the numbers here in Alabama. I see them every year and how that has gotten larger and larger, that we don't have enough officials in all of our sports, and it's going to be less next year. Unless we do some serious changing.
Well, and if we don't do some serious changing, we are. Yes. We're going to lose our sport, and it's a crying shame is what it is. And we've all got to do a better job of controlling what we can control.
That's right.
That's what we've got to do. All right, we come back. 68 Ventures is going to bring you the leadership segment. Boy, we have learned and grown from our relationship with those people at 68 Ventures, and we are so appreciative. You're listening to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, coming to you from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Talking about Reggie,
you know he likes his phone.
This guy will forever be in the PSR Hall of Fame. Absolutely. I mean, this is a guy he is PSR as far as we're concerned. Him and Steely Dan, Michael McDonald. I don't know if and Steve's been in music all of his life, one way or the other. There's never been better music than that. I mean, I'm sure that some of these Allman Brothers fans and all of those think it was better. But, boy, good stuff. You know, we appreciate our folks at Go Pest. They're located over at 29891 Woodrow Lane in Spanish Fort. You know, these folks, when they come to you, they explain their service well. They educate the customer about termites and other bugs, and the price is unbeatable compared to others in the area. Great customer service and a great company to work with. Give GoPest a call. You can reach them at 855-621-2847. We certainly appreciate everything that they have done for us. Man, they are great, 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 great business people. Have heard nothing but great things about them. You know, one of the things is, Mark, we always get the question as parents or as coaches or sometimes as teachers, why? 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 What are the whys in your life? Two most important, Mark Twain once said this, and I don't remember what teacher taught me this, but Mark Twain once spoke about the two most important days of your life, the day you're born and the day you discover why. Well, I don't know if we've ever discovered why, but we certainly get asked that question a lot. And if you hadn't discovered your why yet, then you must do some soul searching because, you know, once it comes into focus, this world of ours kind of starts to make a lot more sense. And if your why is strong enough, then you can endure almost any how to accomplish the mission. I'm going to kind of talk about three or four ways to kind of know a little bit more about your why. Your why can be whatever you want it to be, as long as it's something that gives you the push to get started or to keep going. It's an effective why. You know, there's four steps that you can use to know why, your why, and finding your direction to uncover what it is that drives you. Yeah. This is some great stuff here. And boy, going over this weekend, sitting in a hospital room, really opened my eyes to a lot of things about myself. Number one, write out a list of things that are important to you and pick one. Just pick one. Take a moment to write out a list of things that are important to you. There is no rule for what you write. No one ever needs to see your list, but they need to be things that give you a sense of purpose. Some ideas to get you started include important people in your life, like family, spouse, children, etc. Causes, mental health awareness, veterans organizations, social justice, etc. Long-term goals, move to a new town, start a business, travel destinations, etc. Second thing, consider why this particular thing is most important to you. After you pick one thing from your list, take a few more moments to write about why it is important to you. Why do you want to raise awareness about the impacts of PTSD on veterans? What untapped idea do you have that you believe can change the world? Do some writing to find out how this force can drive you to keep moving forward. The third thing, create a reminder of your why. Create something that reminds you of your why and keeps it at the forefront of your mind. Set your desktop background to rotate through images of your dream travel destination. Print some of your favorite pictures of your children to keep with you at your office. Write a proposed timeline for building your side gig and post it somewhere. And you'll see it every day. And finally, take small steps daily to build your sense of purpose. Once you know your why and clear reminders of it in front of you, start taking the small actions to reach your why. Focus your attention on work during work hours so your kids can have your undivided attention in the evening. I want to say that one more time. Focus your attention on work during work hours so your kids can have your undivided attention in the evening. Find ways to shave unnecessary spending in your day so you can save the money for a down payment on a house in your dream location. See, these are just small things you can do each day to focus on your why and to keep you engaged in the life that you really deserve to have. That's pretty neat.
It is.
Pretty good stuff. You know, Mark, I don't know about you, but I know that the whys in our life attack us at our most vulnerable time. And when we're asked why we did something, I think we've grown accustomed to, well, we don't have to tell you why we did something. Well, as parents, we don't. But I think to people like you and I that have a relationship we have, I think we're accountable to each other for stuff like that. And I think as men, and I'm just speaking of men here, there's no women in here, but in a marriage it's very much like this. I think as men, we've got to do a better job of being accountable to each other for the things that we do that affect other people. And as men that are accountable to each other, then we need to be able to face the responsibility that we've got. And I think we need to do a better job of showing each other.
Yeah,
that.
You're right, buddy. You're right.
All right. Boy, goes by fast. When we come back, we're going to go around the state of high school sports. Maybe open up some doors, maybe shut a few windows. And I think you'll enjoy what we're going to talk about as we go forward right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Well, it's not Randy Bergen. Not today. It's Mark Lasseter and the other coach, and we're glad to be here. Listen to the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report. That first hour flew by. Do want to give you a couple of baseball. We're into the play the quarterfinal round this week, this weekend. It started yesterday, which was Wednesday. Mobile Christian defeated Tallahassee yesterday in a doubleheader, so they move on to the semifinals. Everybody else is going to play tomorrow, so when you hear this show, you should know the winner of Spanish Fort hosting Wetumpka. Baker goes to what at one time was the number one baseball, high school baseball team in the country, Central of Phoenix City, and I promise you, Tyler Mento and those Baker Hornets they don't fear Central one iota.
They don't fear anybody.
No, they really don't. That should be one heck of a series. And Fairhope goes to Auburn. Now, you know, we got a lot of people that are retiring this year. And one of the best baseball coaches over the last 20 years has been a young man by the name of Matt Simo at Auburn High School. And Matt's retiring this year. And Fairhope is going to Auburn to play them. They started yesterday, and they will finish it up today if they have to play an if game. They play two out of three, and we're hoping that Fairhope goes in there and wins that series. But if they do split, they would play a third game today, so you should know whether or not they are in a third game or whether they won or lost when you hear this show. Really good baseball right now. But so Mobile Christian's carrying the flag for us with Spanish Fort and Baker and Fairhope. So,
and Bayshore Christian.
And I've got them listed right here. Bayshore Christian is at Pike Liberal Arts. And what a job Jeff Hagan's done. I'm just telling you.
He really has. He lost a lot of really good players last year. And have just gotten – it's a gritty bunch of kids.
That is.
They're just really gritty and they play at the – play the game right. There's no showboating. There's no none of that stuff. Just play ball.
You know, they went down to Kevin Raley's and Jack Malone with a messed up – he had broken his foot. In a football game.
Home run.
Hits a walk-off home run. And, boy, you don't go down there and
– you don't come out of – out of Skipperville very often
really
with a win.
No,
you just
don't. That's a big, big win for those guys. So congratulations to Jeff Hague and Bayshore. And so they're traveling to Troy to play Pike Liberal Arts, and you should know that score by the time you hear this this replay of our show. St. Michael's building a new stadium. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I don't know when it's going to be ready. I don't think it's going to be ready this fall, but I could be wrong. I just know they're building one.
Well, they got stadium seats with press box already up. And
nice.
And so I know Phillip's excited about that, and he's even more excited, I guess, because he's going to be the quarterback's daddy.
Yeah.
And he's got and he better treat that quarterback right, because mama won't be happy if
I wonder if we could get Phillip just to have take a seat in the bleachers in one of those big, nice reserve seats, and we wouldn't have to coach against him anymore.
No, that's not going to happen.
He does a good job there, and his son, Gunner, is quite the quarterback.
Some kind of player.
He's a good player, very good player.
And I can promise you, Phillip's daddy Steve's going to be right there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Real close, real close. And the most competitive member of that family is Phillip's mama. I can tell you that. She is a competitive lady and one of the sweetest, kindest ladies you'll ever meet. And Steve definitely outkicked his coverage, I can tell you that. So we're excited for St. Michael's. They've had to play most of their games where
at Fairhope.
And so that's a good thing. They're getting their own stadium, and we're really excited about that. I know you guys that you Alabama fans are super excited because you probably don't even know this as busy as you've been. But, you know, LeBaron Felon, I think one of the best basketball players in the state of Alabama in a long time, Mr. Basketball last year, transferred out to a prep school out west. He decommitted from Auburn and committed to Kansas. Well, he's decommitted again. Now he's going to Alabama. And so Alabama fans, boy, you are really getting some good players in there. Nate Oates is doing a heck of a job. But LeBaron Felon is one heck of a basketball player. Super excited about that.
Yeah, he is a great player. And you know, these days you just kind of – you want to read the AL.com or Twitter or so you want to read something every day because you never know who might be coming and who might be leaving.
Going.
You
That's
never
right.
know. And it's like it's a revolving door at some of these places. And so I just wish those – I don't know. I'm not in a full agreement with how all this – we beat this horse to death, but how these kids are transferring. But the coaches now, you know, Nate Oates is one of those guys who really gets it. Hugh Freeze gets how to do it, how they have to recruit in this world because it's a completely different world of recruiting. It's completely changed. And you got to keep up. And that's why you're seeing, you know, maybe why Lane's having play day on.
You got to keep everybody happy.
I guess. But, I mean, who wants to do that? Who wants to keep everybody? That's not the way the world works.
No, it's not. But that's
that's the way we've gotten. You know, us make everybody happy. You can go anywhere you want to, I guess. But at the same time, I know kids are looking at it going, well, coaches can go anywhere they want to. Well, yeah, they can. Yeah. They've already gotten out of college. They've already gotten a degree. They've already moved on.
Right.
They've got a family, and they're trying to do – so it's a little bit different. And yet those kids who come there to play for that coach get there and they go, my coach left. He went for another job. What am I supposed to do?
Well, Mark, it's rampant in high school too.
Oh, I know. And it's going to be before long. It's going to be like the Wild Wild West. You just go wherever you want. You know, it's like everybody gets a trophy.
I was looking at California, and California high school. No, we got to prevent that. Everybody doesn't need a trophy. Let's stop that.
I'm just telling you. That's the way the kind of our society's gotten.
Yeah,
where,
but
we're going to make everything a little bit too easy. Sometimes you got to go through some hardship. Michael Jordan got cut from his JV basketball team.
That's right. And now he's the best player that ever played the game.
In my opinion, yes. You get arguments from younger generation. That's fine. I like that argument.
Yep.
But he got cut.
Yep.
He didn't make the team. So what did he do? He went to work.
Yeah.
You know, he went to work. He didn't transfer. Didn't go somewhere else.
Yeah.
He went to work, got better, made the team, became the greatest player ever.
Well, and I was looking in California today, and the Los Angeles Times has one writer who all he does is keeps up with the transfer portal in high school. Lord. In high school. You know, Maitre D', listen to this now. Maitre D's premier high school football team, one of them in the country. Assistant coach, 16 years there, Frank McManus. He took the job when the head coach retired. He wins whatever he can win there in California. It's the southern section of the state championship. Goes 13-1, loses to John Bosco. Then comes back and beats John Bosco 35-6 to win it all. He's fired the next day. I don't know why. But I look in the paper now, and there's four or five players transferring into Maitre D', and the newspaper chronicles each player. They got a profile and a bio of every one of the – must be 50 bios of high school players transferring from one high school to another. They do have a rule where you got to sit out about half of – about 50% of the season before you're eligible. So, but you got to make a bona fide move too. Got to make a bona fide move. So it's everywhere.
It is. I still think in college football, if you transfer, you got to sit.
Sit out a year.
That's just all there is to it.
Yeah.
Unless you're going in different, divisions of ball.
Right.
Maybe that's different. But I just think that's the way. And I don't think you should be able to do it more than once. There's some guys, of course, you watch some of them. I've seen some of these guys that have left and gone two, three schools and never make it anywhere.
Right.
What did they do? Should have stayed at the one school.
That's right.
And at least got a degree from that school, right, and had made some lifelong friends. But you're not going to do it jumping all over the place.
No, and they're leaving high school mid-year.
Yeah.
They're not going to go to the senior prom. Not going to graduate. They, what they going to do in the 10-year reunion? They coming back?
Nah.
We'll be back right here with Thompson Tractor PSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We got state track meets going on. The 4A, 7A's down at the Gulf Shore Sportsplex. The 1A, 3A's at Coleman, and I believe that's Oliver Woodard Stadium, if I'm not mistaken. But that's where 1A, 3A is. And hang in there, buddy.
All right, pal.
But I wanted to mention one of these guys, Malcolm Simmons from Benjamin Russell. Now, we know what kind of receiver, what kind of football player he is. He's one of those golden receivers that's signed with Auburn. And we had a great year signing receivers with Simmons and the kid from Foley. And when you look at those people, we really got three really good receivers.
Perry Thompson.
Perry Thompson.
Coleman
from Phoenix City. Yeah.
Man, woof. And the young man from Baker.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Bryce Kane.
Yes. Yeah. He's going to be quite a player for him.
Boy, that's four really good receivers right there. And I can't remember it's been a long time since we had those kind of receivers coming in.
You don't see many schools get them. Alabama had that crew a few years back.
That's right.
With Ruggs.
Waddle, Ruggs,
Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
All them great receivers. You just don't see that happen very often.
Right.
And Auburn's got them. And, from what I understand, Peyton Thorne's going to be – they think that he's really grasped the offense. Now, he was thrown into a tough situation.
Sure he was.
I think it'll be a lot better for him. But Malcolm Simmons.
He's something.
He can do just about anything.
Well, let's tell you a little bit about what Malcolm Simmons has done. First of all, he high jumped 7 feet.
Yeah.
That hadn't been done. We had a boy named Arthur Chitty at UMS who was right up there real close, 6'10", 6'11", and he's really, really good. He's now in the Southern Conference with Samford and doing a great job there. This cat, Malcolm Simmons, 7-foot high jumper, he long jumped 24 feet 11 inches. Now, what was the state record before that? You've talked about these kids before. Remember those receivers at Anniston, the running back to
Tulsa? Orlando Waters.
Yeah, Orlando Waters.
He's
pretty stinking good. Of course, he went on to Arkansas, too, and was a great football player there.
Played for the Seattle Seahawks.
Had a cup of coffee in the NFL. The record, and he set it 24-10. Well, Malcolm Simmons just broke that. And he's something really, really special. And also, when they got in a pinch, he punted for them at Benjamin Russell.
Tremendous athlete.
Good gracious alive.
And he, what's really kind of cool about Malcolm, when I found out about Malcolm, I had to get on Facebook with one of my former players from there, a young man by the name of Scotty Vines.
Yeah.
Scotty Vines was a state high jump champion at Benjamin Russell back in the day, and he jumped 6'10". He tried seven foot and didn't make it, but I was giving him a hard time. I said, man, them younger guys are getting you. He said, I can still out jump him.
That's, Well, if he can out-jump him, that's something special.
Scotty's 40 years old.
Well, no, he can't out-jump him. Can't out-jump him. Talked about some people retiring. Of course, Pat Galley. We're having the state track meet this week. 50 years at UMS, right?
Wow. What a
man. I mean,
just think about it. Just can you put your arms around the amount of people that man has touched?
Oh, it's just.
In all those years.
And a lot of coaches he's touched, too.
Has.
I mean that.
Yes,
and,
he has.
Woody Head. Four decades.
40 decades.
Yeah, that's right. 40 years over
40
at,
years.
At Faith Academy. We lose him. I just noticed, too, William Booth, who's the baseball coach at Hartsell. I think he's won over 1,000 games, 1,200 games in
1,200,
baseball.
I think,
You know, he's assistant superintendent of the Hartsell City Schools. He's retiring, but the board has said, whoa, hold on. It's okay to retire. We want you to keep coaching baseball. As long as, so they've made a special board ruling and gave it to the superintendent and said, we want Coach Booth to continue to coach baseball if you can work that out, Mr. Superintendent.
That is awesome.
So he's going to continue to coach baseball. And
good for him.
And he's a great math teacher. So they said, you know, we may need him to come in and tutor some of our students.
What a great town. Hartsell's a great town. That is. Love their sports there.
And Coach Booth he had some health issues, but boy, he's just doing great now. But we getting some people like that. We talked about Matt Simo a little earlier, Pat Galley, Woody Head, William Booth. I saw where Dusty Goode over somewhere in Shelby County. He's retiring. He's stepping away from football. He's still going to coach, so you can't keep that guy down.
Which one of them? One of them was at Thompson. One of them.
He was. He was assistant at Thompson at one time.
He was the head coach at Chelsea.
No, that's his brother.
That's his brother.
Yeah, that's his brother.
All right, then his brother is now at Thompson.
He is. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know where. I'm not sure where Dusty was.
Dusty's been in several places, and I don't have that on my notes, but he's been in several places. A couple of other job changes. Peter Bezzariti.
Yeah.
He's leaving.
Peter Bez.
Bez is going to St. Michael's. So he's going to double dip. He's gonna...
And very quietly, that young man has done nothing but win.
Win. That's right.
And he wins the hearts of his players.
Yeah.
He's just one of the guys that every time I see him, man, you just want to say, man, I'm just glad to know you. You know, I really am, because he's just a good person.
Yeah.
He is such a good person. And he's so good with his baseball team and kids he coaches. He always he's going to be a welcome addition there at Faith. Is that where he's going to Faith?
No, he's going to St. Michael's.
St. Michael's, that's right. St. Michael's, that's right. Oh, man, what a great.
Just right down the road, really.
Sure it is.
Going right down the road. So, congratulations to Coach Bez. And I know Kevin Rady thinks the world of him. And, of course, that baseball job will be open at Robertsdale. And I would imagine some of Kevin's former players and Bez's former players who are now coaching would be in line for that. I know one of Kevin Rayleigh's former players is an assistant there now and has been with Bez for about 6 or 7 years. And so, maybe they'd just move one of those guys in there. That'd be really good. Barry Dunning. You know, Barry Dunning was a great high school player at McGill. He signed with Arkansas. Musselman signed him at Arkansas. He didn't get much of a chance to play out there. Transferred to UAB. Got in the transfer portal again. He's coming home. He's going to play for Riley over at South Alabama. And I'm really glad to see Barry Dunning coming home to play at South. I think that was the best place for him. Of course, he had an outstanding career for Philip Murphy over at McGill. And so really excited for Barry to get to come home. Where I really should have come there to start with. You know, he thinks the grass is always greener on the outside. But South is a great fit for him, and I just hope that things work out for Barry there.
It's always good to come home.
It is. I'm just telling you, it's really good to come home, except for coaches.
Sometimes that can be a little tough.
That can be tough, and that's something that we want to talk about that a little later on if we have time. Is coaches going back to their alma mater to be the head coach, especially when they've got their former teammates have children playing at that time.
Yep.
That's tough.
I knew you win.
That's right. I knew you win. So that's pretty good. That's actually really, really good. Hey, if you want to listen to a really good show, Southern Fairways coming up right after us here. You don't want to miss them. Randy and his cast of characters will entertain you with.
And it is a cast of characters.
It is. It's a good group of guys. Man, just good guys. And Randy does a great job with that show, as he does on this show. And we look forward to getting him back. But he will be coming. He'll be with you right after this show, and you don't want to miss that on Southern Fairways Sports Radio. There you go. That's why you have a professional producer.
That's right.
We'll be right back with more
keep it
right here on Thompson Tractor PSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Here come the giggles.
Yeah. Dedicate this time, buddy. Baby's in the
room.
He's the best. I'm telling you. Ben Thomas is the sports writing and covering sports in Alabama is what Bob Skaggs is to this town.
Better bring a check around.
All right.
Ben would say, I want to be the AC/DC of sports writers. Or the Kiss. Or what, you know, find a hard rock band, and that's what Ben's gone. That Ben loves him some hard
rock. You know, and talking about a spirit-filled man.
Yes, sir.
But he loves that head-banging music,
he does.
I guess. And that's,
hey, there was a time in my life I enjoyed a little
all of our buddies did. That's nothing wrong with that.
I grew up in them 70s with the long hair. I'm not going to go any further.
That's probably better. But he does love some AC/DC and all of that. But, boy, he is some more. He's such a wonderful man, and he does such a wonderful job for sports coaches and athletes in the state of Alabama.
And, you know, he just loves high school sports.
He does.
He does such a good job, you know, covering kids and coaches and communities. Just real thankful.
Your
we got
buddy Ben. Mike, is it Mike Argo? Is it? Yeah, Ben just wrote a great story on Mike Argo when he was a young writer, I think, and Mike was just getting started or was a coach then, and if you hadn't read that, boy, that'll bring you to your knees. I'm telling you right now. 62, Mark. What does 62 tell you about?
62 tells me Buddy Fleming got hot down at Glen Lakes.
Good gracious.
At the sectional tournament. Set a course record.
Yeah.
A 62 score on the Dunes Vista course. It's three courses there. And, he blistered it. Of course, now Buddy has got that. He's got it. There are days he went. I mean, he won the dumbwaiter tournament at Steelwood, first or second big tournament of the year.
Right.
He won that with, I think, a 67, which was 5 under par that day, which nobody else was in hardly in the 70s.
Yeah. Well, he started out really hot. Now, Eagles won.
Yeah.
And he's got an eagle and 9 birdies and 1 bogey. And I guess that means 9, 10, he had, 5 or 6 pars in there. So
just threw a few pars in for good work.
No, I can't imagine 62.
No.
And that is a really fun golf course to play.
It is.
David Musial and those guys do such a great job there.
They really do.
And so if you hadn't played Glen Lakes, you want to play it. It's a fun.
And I'll tell you what, right now is some really good time to go watch golf, high school golf.
Yeah.
There's sub-state tournaments going on next week, Monday. We're actually hosting down at Glen Lakes Monday morning. David Musial's, helping us put that on down there. That's the 4A boys. And so there's tournaments going to be going around all over the place. But while we're talking about some amazing stories of golf,
yep.
Vestavia Hills
got
a really good team.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
Their team was 17, I think it was 17 under par with a 271.
That's unbelievable.
At the old Overton course in Birmingham. And second place, now get this, second place is Spain Park with 282. They're 6 under par. And they can't come close to Vestavia.
That's amazing to me because the last time I played Old Overton with Doug Amos one day.
Really?
I didn't break 100.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Of course.
It's really it tough. Really that's is. Amazing, those kids. And they threw out. What score did they throw out?
74.
Holy cow.
They shot 67, 67, 67, 70. They were 5 under, 5 under, 5 under, 3 under, 2 under. That was their score.
That's amazing.
17 under par.
That's
incredible.
That's unheard of.
I mean, I don't care if it's your home course. I don't care if it's a course you play every day. When you put scores like that together, you and I and people we know, even really, really good golfers,
yeah,
will go out and play the same course all the time. But very rarely do you get four guys on the same team go 5 under, 5 under, 5 under, 3 under, 2 under.
That's just unbelievable.
You just don't do it.
No.
I mean, that's
no.
Really good golf. Really good golf.
While you're talking about that, the Future Masters invites came out.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
And our little buddy from Daphne High School and helped me, Cornell.
Yep.
Blake Cornell,
yep,
is got an invite there,
yep,
which is really, really good. But there's a lot of other – Thomas Crane from UMS, Henry Brown from UMS. And there's a lot of golfers that you know that I don't know that got invites.
I saw the headline as I was leaving.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get it. I saw that was it Tiger's son?
Yeah, his Tiger's son.
Tiger's son is coming to Dothan to play in that tournament.
Yeah, he sure is. I taught all those Thornton kids at Northview.
Really?
I think I'm gonna call some of Mr. Press's family and see if I can't get Thomas Crane in that group with him.
I just happened to saw the headline, so I haven't even looked at the list.
There's some really, really neat.
I'm gonna feel
things.
Really bad if one of my guys is on it and I didn't see him. I don't know.
I
didn't check.
I can't answer that because I don't know all of your players, but it's on there. You can see the ones that are on there.
Well, that's great. I'm really glad to see those kids. That's a great tournament
they
put on down there, man. They really, really do a good job at Dothan. Is it Dothan Country
Club? Dothan Country Club, yeah.
Been there for years.
It has, and I'm telling you right now, the Thornton family, Press Thornton started that years and years ago, and it is such a wonderful, wonderful tournament, and they are such great hosts there too.
Yes, they are.
Now, they used to house people in homes.
Yeah.
I don't know that they still do that, but maybe you do, but that's a – really wonderful, wonderful thing that they do there, and it's you see the best junior golfers, and really, there's some international golfers in there that got invited as well.
Yeah, there are.
So,
you got
some other scores too now that are just mind-boggling.
Yeah,
in 4A, tell
4A, 4A boys. I saw that. I got to give a shout out while I'm thinking. It just hit me. Our girls golfer, Causey Thompson, won her section with a season low 72
right
this past week at I think they were at Arrowhead in Montgomery.
Yeah.
And just so she's a senior, she's leaving go to college next year, but I want to give her a shout out.
Just I saw that. Congratulations.
Great kid, and just every time you see her, she's got a big smile on her face.
Yeah.
But that was a big deal for her, and those girls made it to state, and I think Jay's team, UMS girls, qualified.
Yeah, Francis Brown, I think. Noel Freeman. There's three or four on there.
They had a good one. But the boys 4A at Dothan, Jackson High School, I want to give them guys a shout-out. Man, they came to play. Shot 297.
Great.
And they played a great round, and that's a fun bunch. I enjoy watching those kids play and being around their families. They're just good people.
Yeah.
And they really are fun to be with. Our boys may qualify with a 306, and we're headed to play next week. But it's a couple of teams that really will jump off the page at you. 4A boys, section 3 at Twin Bridges Golf Club in Gadsden, White Plains.
Good
shot
gracious.
288.
Man.
288, White Plains.
Man.
That's playing a round of golf. And they're having sub-state this week, and I imagine them and Haleyville are going to tie up because Haleyville played at the Shoals in Florence. They played at the place that we're playing state in a couple of weeks. And Haleyville shot 305 at the Shoals. I don't know if they played the Fighting Joe or the Schoolmaster course.
Yeah.
I don't know which one, but Haleyville has been, they've shot as low as 282 this year. I've seen a couple of scores.
282.
So good. Brooks High School shot 311, but Substate's next week. Now, Substate in classes 1, 1A, 2A, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, all those classifications are playing Substate, and the top two teams from each of those, so there's a Substate in the north, yep, Substate in the south, two teams from each will go to state. So there'll be four teams at state. There'll be four individuals who are not on one of those
right,
four teams
that,
that qualify for state. Yep. So Substate next week, it's going to get a lot really interesting. It's a lot of teams battling hard to get there.
That's fun.
It is fun.
It's fun, and you don't have a whole lot of fan interaction making rulings and stuff like that.
No.
That's the fun part of that. That's really good. Thank you for that, because golf, man, it's a growing sport, and I still think we've got to move it to the fall. I really do. I think
that's
got
probably
going to
gonna, eventually,
to
eventually that's going to happen. Also give a shout-out to McGill Toolin. Had the shot one of their best rounds of the year this year, and Michael Crocker tied Ken Brown from UMS with a 70.
Yep. Yep.
At their section tournament. So congratulations to those two guys.
It's two really good golfers there, too.
Yeah, they
That's
are.
Two really,
really
good,
good golfers.
And Ken Brown's little brother, Henry, ain't bad.
No, he's
I'm
not.
Telling you, he's going to be something special.
Not bad
special.
At all.
He's something special. I want to go back. I know everybody wants us to talk about the executive director's job. We're going to spend a little time talking about that. We've kind of got a guy that we hope does put his name in the hat and applies for it, and because we need somebody that when he walks into a room of coaches, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, soccer, he's immediately got the respect of every coach in there. It's got to be somebody like that. And, we're anxiously awaiting to see what happens with that. I did want to tell you this, Mark, before we go to the Camp Gray segment. Texas high schools now can use computers, tablets, iPads, smartphones during the game and at halftime intermission. But you can only use them in the booth. You can't use them down on the field, or you can use them at halftime. So looking forward to seeing how that works out. You're listening to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We'll be right back with the Camp Gray segment. Don't want to miss that.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, Rick, when you and I talk all the time during the week, you know, anytime we're talking, and somehow we always come back around to things that matter to us. Some things that matter to us are what we do in our daily life, you know. And then, you know, I think about all these things I've learned over the years, and I think about when I realize that are people in our lives that we love and we care about are sick, or they're hurting,
right,
or maybe they're seeing the last, you know, parts of their lives, you know, in the relatively near future, whenever that may be.
Yeah.
And you start thinking about what part of their dash, as Gene Sallings said a long time ago, what part of their dash between 1959 and 2024, in that dash, what did each day contain? Did it contain something that was good for other people? You know, and I think about those things all the time. And when I was young, I thought about Bear Bryant as being a football coach. Big old gruff. I mean, he was to me, as a young man, loving Alabama, even when I was in Texas and Missouri and wasn't even living here. And everybody thought I was weird because I was an Alabama fan, but seeing him against that goalpost and hearing him talk, you know, on different things, I was like, man, this guy's something else. And then I heard some of his quotes,
yeah,
and some of the things he would talk about and some of the things that he would say. And I was just like, man, there's more depth to this guy than I ever imagined. And so for right now, we're going to play you a little excerpt that most all of you have probably heard. It's called Beginning of a New Day by Bear Bryant.
I read it for players, and I read it every now and then. But I'm going to tell you, every day of my life, I read it. And I think it's been very, very, very important to me. I'm going to read it now. I'll read it again tonight. And I'll share it with you if you give me a minute. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it, or I can use it for good. What I do today is very important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. I came up here with my old back hurting this morning. I'm trading that for a day of my life. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving something in its place I have traded for it. I want it to be gain, not loss, good, not evil, success, not failure, in order that I shall not forget the price I paid for it. And I want to thank Mr. Tram Session if he's the one who sent me that, because that's terrific. That keeps me going every day.
Wow. All right. When I hear that,
yeah,
it makes me think, okay, what am I doing today? And that, you know, that's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
No doubt.
And it was just so simple. You know, what he looks at himself at night and said, all right, what did I do today? I traded a day of my life for whatever I did. What did I do? And so one thing that I just am just completely given over to since some things have transpired in my life is that every day of my life I'm supposed to try to be a blessing or help somebody, you know, put a smile on my face regardless of the situation. And every day is not going to be like that.
No.
It's just not. Every day is not going to be all happy and roses and sunshine and springtime. It's not going to be that. Some days are going to be dreary, tough days in the dead of winter, you know, when things feel like, oh, man, can it get any worse? Well, yeah, it probably can. But my attitude on how my day is depends on me. And what am I going to do today to make my day better and better for somebody else? Because there is no greater gift in this world than to give somebody a present of your own presence in a place that is solely committed to making them better, making them happy, letting them know you matter. I see you. You matter to me today. And if I do that, then I feel like I've traded a pretty good day of my life for it.
You remember his TV show? Mm-hmm. You remember watching that? You know, did he ever fail to mention a boy's mom and daddy?
Mm-mm.
Every time, and he knew exactly where he was from and talked about him. And his days had to be full. I mean, had to be full. And, you know, I can only imagine that he lived that every day of his life because he knew in his wisdom that everything – he couldn't waste an hour of his time. You didn't see him playing in celebrity golf tournaments or doing anything like that. He was always working, and that was, boy, he was something special.
Now, he might go bird hunting with Pat Dye.
Well, that's true, too. But, I mean, but he was making a difference in his own way.
He did.
He made a difference in people's lives.
Ask any of those guys who played for
him. That's right. I mean,
that's all you got to do is ask him.
I never am amazed anymore to hear Russ Wood. I mean, Russ can tell story after story. I used to play golf with Eddie Bo Rogers. And Eddie Bo was also a GA under right. Coach Bryant. And Lord have mercy. So much respect and so much love for who he was yep. to them. Now you got people that want to.
Sure.
Yeah, it's always that. Mark, thank you for that. Steve, thank you for being here. Thank you for
keeping us together.
That's exactly right. Keeping us on time.
That's a tough job, folks.
Most of all, thank you to the listeners, and thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday morning. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time next week.